As Terrell said, my name is Nate. I'm a recent graduate, and I was going to say that that makes me the old man of this group, but really, Thomas still has me beat, and they still let him hang out too, so that's pretty cool. But if you guys want to get a head start, I'm going to be focusing in Philippians 2 this morning. So the RSC is leaving to go on a mission trip at the end of this week. We're going to Tip City, Ohio to work with the Churches of Christ Disaster Response Team. And so thinking about that, Will decided that it'd be a good idea to talk about being a servant and having a servant's heart. So to me, there's really no better example of a servant than Jesus himself. So I want to go through a couple of verses here in Philippians 2 and kind of discuss three attributes that Jesus shows us that makes him a good servant. So if you guys want to go with me to Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross." So the first attribute that Jesus shows me here that I want to talk about is his humility. You know, Jesus was humble. You know, even though he knew exactly who he was and what he could do, he chose to be humble. And you might think about it, like, why would he do this? Well, I think that one of the purposes of him choosing to be humble is he did it for us. He did it because in order for, you know, the will of God to be fulfilled, he had to humble himself and take the form of a human so that we could have a personal relationship with him. I really like what 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 tells us. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty may become rich." So because of Jesus' humility, you know, we're able to have this personal relationship with him. You know, he lowered himself so that he could come down here and be a servant. Because Jesus was humble, we also have to be humble. You know, humility is a virtue that Christians must have before we can be servants. And we need to realize that, you know, if Jesus, the Son of God, was able to come down here and do this to fulfill, you know, God's work, you know, we've got to do the same thing. We need to realize that our role here on this earth is not to please ourselves, but to please God. And one way that we do that is by humbling ourselves into the form of a servant. The second attribute that Jesus shows us that I want to talk about is selflessness. So it's shown, you know, countless times throughout Jesus' life and his ministry how selfless he is. And it shows that he oftentimes puts the needs of others in front of his own. And he also always puts the will of God before his own needs. So when I think about a good example of this in the Bible, I think about when Jesus was, you know, fasting in the wilderness and was faced by Satan and was tempted. And so I'm going to read that to you guys, Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said, "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship your Lord your God and serve him only.'" So to me, this is a pretty powerful example of Jesus being selfless. You know, even though he's been in the wilderness for 40 days and hasn't eaten, you know he's got to be pretty hungry. And so with the devil coming to him and telling him, "Hey, you can do this. You can turn these stones into bread for yourself." Well, Jesus shuts that down because he knows that's not what he's there for. He knows that's not the will of God. The devil offers him the kingdom of the world. And you know, you would think that with it being Jesus, that would be a pretty easy thing for him to turn down. But Jesus, you know, being a man, he struggled with some of the same things that we do. And if I put myself in that position, you know, I think having somebody come and offer me everything in the world, you know, I get to be the king of the world. It'd be a little bit, you'd have to think about it. It'd be a little bit hard to turn down. So, but Jesus, he has a reason for what he does, and so he turns that down, and I think that's very selfless. So in order to be a good servant, we also have to be selfless like Jesus. You know, this is hard sometimes because being selfless gets in the way of what we want for ourselves. You know, we all live such busy lives nowadays, and that's one thing that I struggle with is like, when I finally do get a free moment to myself, it's hard for me to want to offer my time to go help somebody else. But when you look at it, you know, our time really isn't our time. Our time is God's time. You know, we're put here on this earth to serve others, and that's the will of God. So in order to be a good servant, you have to be selfless. So the third and final attribute that I kind of want to talk about this morning was that Jesus was very loving. You know, and the great thing about the love of Jesus is that it's not exclusive. Instead, his love is inclusive and it's unconditional. So there's this song that I've heard and I've grown to kind of like it. It's by Morgan Wallen, and it's called "Don't Think Jesus." And so in this song, he kind of talks about how when he got started, you know, in country music and stuff, and how he kind of went down a rough and rowdy path. And so people from his hometown told him, like, "Well, I don't think that Jesus would have done it that way," in reference to, you know, we're supposed to live our lives like Jesus. So it goes through the song, and later on he talks about how, you know, he sees what they're saying and he agrees that's not how Jesus would have done it. But then he turns it around and he says, just a second, let me find it. He goes on to say that if he were Jesus, he said, "If I were him, I would say that there's no helping you and I would find someone else to give heaven to." He said, "I would shame me, I would blame me, and I would make me pay for my mistakes, but I don't think Jesus does it that way." And so I think that's really powerful. You know, that's the good thing, is that Jesus doesn't do it that way. Instead, because of his unconditional love that he has for us, you know, he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. You know, we're also called to have that kind of love for each other. We're supposed to love each other unconditionally. And in order to be a servant of God, we have to love each other like Jesus loved us. And we have to open our hearts and love each other because we're put on this earth to serve God. And that is a must. That's a thing that we have to do before we can do that. So from these few verses, I take away a lot. You know, to be a servant like Jesus, we have to be humble, we have to be selfless, and we have to love. And I think that if we understand this mindset and develop these skills, that we can be good servants like Jesus. I'm going to let Will take over here, and he's going to go into this a little more.
So again, I want to thank you guys for having us this morning. We're all really excited to be here. So while Nate talked about what a servant really is and some qualities of a servant through giving examples of Jesus, I'm going to talk about how we can be servants. Now, serving is important for everyone. It's not just for certain people who can participate up front in a service. It's for everybody. In John chapter 13, we see Jesus teach an important lesson about serving. I'll start reading in verse 2. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid his outer garments aside, and he took a towel and tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin, began washing the disciples' feet, and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, you are washing my feet?" Jesus answered to him and said, "What I am doing you do not realize right now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no place with me." Simon Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet. Otherwise he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. And it was for this reason that he said, "Not all of you are clean." Then, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. So if I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I gave you an example, so that you would do just as I did. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Okay, so that passage we've heard in a whole bunch of sermons. And most of the time, people focus on the fact that Jesus is taking the lowest servant's job, which that is true. But I want to focus on the importance of when Jesus is doing this. He's doing this at the Last Supper, and he knows what's about to happen to him. He knows that this is one of the last things that he's going to be able to do before the crucifixion. He wanted this to be fresh on the disciples' minds. And really, it shows importance because it's one of the last things. One of the things that Jesus wanted to make sure that the disciples really understood. So we should see the importance in this. Now, being a part of the campus ministry, South College in Tahlequah understands that we're supposed to serve, and it strives to find better ways for us to serve. They don't treat us like a youth group and just have us come up and lead a prayer or whatever else. They see us as full members of their congregation. They have us serve in roles like being a song leader or teaching class, doing devotionals on Wednesday nights, serving on the table. Some people serve in planning events like planning a ladies' day or maybe even just serving in the sound booth, doing the slides in the live stream. And that really allows us to grow and really understand what our talents are, where we fit into the body of the church. Even doing things like this morning, coming to different congregations and speaking, can really help people like me to do whatever I need to do in a congregation. Who knows what the future holds, and I want to be prepared for whatever I need to do. So I've talked about what the RFC does in South College, but I want to talk about how everybody can get involved now. Of course, you can serve physically, like doing stuff in the service, or physically doing work and helping people like what we usually do on our mission trips. But not everybody can serve physically. There are a couple other ways. Of course, there's financially. But one thing that kind of gets overlooked as real service is serving emotionally. People can send cards to people who are ill or to people who just haven't come around all that much. And that can be a really big encouragement to those people and really have a personal connection. If people are in the hospital, that's another good way because it shows that you care. You took some time out of your day to come and visit them. Or shut-ins. They kind of get forgotten about because out of sight, out of mind. But really, they are members of the congregation too. And really, this flows into the next point that I'm going to have. Can you really age out of serving? No. Nobody can. The older members of the congregation should be teaching the younger members, because you guys have the wisdom. So Paul talks to Titus on this point in Titus chapter 2. But as for you, proclaim the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Nobody can retire from being a disciple. Throughout life, it takes a lot of work to be a true disciple. And we don't want the information to be lost. Everybody has their own experiences, but sharing those experiences with the younger generation, it's really important. And without that, the knowledge that you possess really kind of starts to lose influence and power. But in the end, we want to hear the words said in Matthew chapter 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. But to hear those words, we really need to use our talents to further the kingdom. Maybe you aren't a Christian. Maybe you want to know Jesus and help serve with his people here in this congregation. I have no doubt that there are men here that would help you take the steps no matter what. And maybe you need prayers. Maybe you are a Christian and you feel a little discouraged. If you need anything from the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.